We welcome you to a special edition of the Emmaus Bible Hour. The subject is Guide to Christian Growth, and your instructor is C. Ernest Tatham, one of the founders of the Emmaus Bible College. Yes, this is a special program of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Gather your family around as we open the Bible and discover what God has to say to us through His Word.
Greetings, everyone. It's delightful to be together again today for another lesson in this fascinating course, Guide to Christian Growth. This is very important, after all, and it's a practical, down-to-earth subject that confronts every young Christian. And so we shall consider this subject the Christian's books. All right. Now, before we get into today's discussion, supposing we turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and read verses 13 and 14. I say 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 and 14. Paul says to Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Notice particularly the words of verse 13. "Till I come, give attention to reading." Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 13. "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." In this latter text, we have a glimpse of the veteran servant of Christ, Paul, languishing in a Roman prison, not knowing at what moment the cell door would be opened and he'd be led by the executioner out to his martyrdom. And in the chill of that cell, he asks his young friend Timothy to bring with him the cloak which he had left at Troas. And then he says, "And the books, but especially the parchments." Perhaps by the parchments he meant the sacred biblical manuscripts, the sacred scriptures. But along with the parchments, he says, "Don't forget, I would like to have some books with me." Now, our lesson today, as you know, concerns the Christian's books. What shall I, as a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, read? Francis Bacon, the great philosopher of the past, did not exaggerate when he said, and I'm quoting his words, "If I might control the literature of the household, I would guarantee the well-being of church and state," unquote. I remember reading in a restaurant these words printed on a menu. A great philosopher said, "Tell me what a man eats, and I'll show you what kind of a man he is." And then the restaurant added their own little commercial and said, "Show me where he eats, and we'll help you complete the picture." Well, I would add to it and say, "Show me what a man reads, and I'll tell you what kind of a man he is." Now, reading is a practice that every one of us should seek to develop. We're living in a book-conscious age. Everywhere one turns today, he finds books in hardback and paperback and magazines and newspapers, literature, on every hand. Now, of course, it's obvious that we cannot read it all. We cannot read but a mere fraction of it. And therefore, we have to discriminate what we read. For after all, reading exerts a very subtle but very powerful influence upon us all. The late Dr. A.T. Pearson said this. He said, "We feel great reverence for a library. These great collections of books are the true catacombs, dwelling places of the dead. From these alcoves they look down upon us. Here their thoughts and feelings are embalmed, or rather permanently incarnated. Our libraries are the schools of mankind, not only conservators of past thought, but educators of present thinkers." And then Dr. Pearson goes on to say that the library selected by any individual largely indicates his character, for it shows who are his literary friends. Books not only indicate present character, but they mold future character. And because the reader is brought into such close contact with the author, grave responsibility is involved in the fact that books unconsciously assimilate the reader to the author. And isn't this true? You know, every book, every magazine, every periodical that we read leave in the mind a deposit, a residuum. Something like a river often marks both its character and its course by the deposit on its bed. Now, the books that are all around us might be intellectually stimulating, and yet they might be spiritually damaging. We might go on this subject, but I want to call your attention to the fact that Paul said to young Timothy, give attention to reading. And this is very good advice. For after all, most of us have some appetite and desire to read, even though it might not be as sharp as we would like it to be. But it depends largely, if we're going to grow in grace, as to what we read. Now, let me state at the outset that the Word of God, the Bible, must have the preeminent place in our reading. If you are going to become a healthy, sturdy, vigorous Christian, you and I must read regularly and generously the Holy Scriptures. Paul reminded Timothy that from a child, and the word is from a babe, he had known the Holy Scriptures, able to make him wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul, again I would remind you, urged that Timothy should not forget to bring to him the parchments. I cannot overemphasize the importance then of reading God's Word consistently and reading it in consecutively, that is, a book at a time. It's a good thing to take a book and read it at a sitting. Perhaps read it in a fast survey form and then come back and pick up the details and analyze. First of all, by broad survey or synthesis, and then read it analytically. I would suggest that you get a new Scofield Reference Bible. I want to say that, in my opinion, the new Scofield Reference Bible is a winner. It's a must. And while we all know that the notes, the footnotes, and annotations are not part of the sacred text, They come from human sources, and therefore they are fallible. Yet, for the most part, the authors, or the editors, and the contributors of the New Scofield Bible have been godly men who have reverenced the Book of God and the God of this book. And the notes are very reliable, generally speaking. Now, in addition to that, you'll notice that the lesson today, lesson number 7, suggests, very helpfully, a list of books that should be on top priority basis. Pilgrim's Progress, Fox's Book of Martyrs, Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, George Mueller, and then the incomparable notes of C.H.M. on the Pentateuch. And then a list of authors follows that are men who have produced some very helpful expository books. Now, my own suggestion is that in addition to the Bible, the Word of God, we should have a good Cruden's Concordance. I would suggest a complete Cruden's Concordance. This concordance will identify the location of any English word in our ordinary Bible. If you want to get the Greek meanings, then you will need a Young's or a Strong's. And let me say while I'm on this subject that W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words is a classic. It is rich in explaining, not only identifying, but explaining the words in a very a brief and clear manner. Don't pass up W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. And a good Bible dictionary is a must. Now, in my opinion, Unger's Bible Dictionary is at the top of the list. Dr. Unger is a scholar and a man of deep spiritual penetration, U-N-G-E-R, apostrophe S, Unger's Bible Dictionary. And along with it, you might like to have Unger's Bible Handbook as well. It is much in little. We've already mentioned C.H.M.'s notes. To me, this is required reading for the young Christian. C.H.M.'s notes on the Pentateuch. It covers the first 5 books of the Bible, consists, I think, of about 6 little volumes. And C.H.M. not only explains the text, but he also reaches the heart and the conscience as well. The late Dr. H.A. Ironside's volumes are always very helpful. And F.B. Meyer's biographical sketches are matchless in their class. Dr. Graham Scroggie, Dr. Campbell Morgan, the late Dr. A.C. Gabelline. And then, if you want something that is excellent on Romans, don't pass up Dr. Donald Barnhouse's series of expository volumes on Paul's letter to the Romans. But above all, let's see to it that our reading of books about the Bible do not supplant our reading of the Bible itself.